You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
We spend all our time here. I want to make a paradise.
She redid all of it.
Every last detail. And she breathed life back into every room.
Are you happy?
I love you.
Please, come in.
Hello.
Hello. He's a stranger. We're just gonna let him sleep in our house.
Hello.
Hello.
Did you know he had a wife?
Everyone, welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Andy Comer.
How's it going?
And from the Waffle Press, Gina Versa.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. Today we are going to be talking about Mother.
Little M.
Said it with you.
we gotta shout it because it has an exclamation point.
Yeah.
It's art, everybody. It's art. It gets an exclamation point. But yeah, today we are going to be talking about the most controversial movie of the year that's not doing well at the box office. Imagine that, a movie that's different and stirred a bunch of people up and it's not working at all. Imagine that.
Yeah, especially after everybody going to see it, I'm not shocked at all that this movie, like when I saw the marketing leading up to the final trailer that I saw, I'm like, this movie is literally its only draw is the fact that Jennifer Lawrence is in it, and maybe the little niche that is Aronofsky would bring some people, but like this movie is not making money. It's gonna probably make around like 30 million domestic, which I found out was its budget. So we'll see how that goes worldwide or internationally to see if it can actually make money beyond its marketing and such. But I would say like I wasn't even excited about this movie at all because Jennifer Lawrence is not a draw for me anymore until the final trailer, when it said that like the trailer's like calling it out, saying like this movie will mess you up. I'm like, challenge accepted. I want to see this movie now.
All right, Gene, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I was a Aronofsky fan. Sorry, I'm having trouble with his last name too. And you know, I dug Noah. It was the movie Black Swan. And coming into it, I think it was like it didn't really have too much marketing. I don't know if you guys recall. It was kind of like shrouded in secrecy, and it was like, oh, that was cool. It was like a mystery box thing.
Yeah.
I just went in with an open mind, and yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, same here. I saw the first trailer in front of Detroit like a few weeks back, and instantly I was hooked. I wanted to see this movie because this movie, the trailer, all it is just Jennifer Lawrence just walking around the house, and I thought it was genius.
And that is technically what the movie is.
It is.
I say that because I've been listening to a lot of people's reactions to this, and a lot of people, one main consensus is that the trailers were extremely misleading. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was, in the sense that it's not a horror film, a true blue horror film, but the trailers did give you a glimpse to what the film is, because it is literally her in every frame. So,
yeah,
and that's the thing. Well, before we get into the deeper thoughts of the movie, I actually did want to talk about the marketing campaign, because I understand, like, yes, it was a little misleading to have the Rosemary Baby-esque poster. Because the movie is nothing like Rosemary's Baby the slightest bit. But other than that, I was like, how do you market this movie? I mean, how do you tell people, yes, this is going to be a Jennifer Lawrence movie where she walks around a house, and it's a movie for people, for, it's a movie to basically say, hey, this is a movie for introverts. This is a movie, this is a horror movie for introverted people who hate people, like, you know, going, hate going to parties. This is a, for those kind of people. How do you say that?
While also
saying this is a biblical horror movie.
Like, how I was going to say, I would never even, like, the way you were just explaining it, I'm like, that wouldn't even explain it for me. There is no way to explain this movie, like, beyond, it's all symbolism in a, like, a fever dream sequence. Like, the entire second half of the film, to me, the best way I can explain that is it's the anarchy of a dream that you cannot get out, wake up from. The entire, like, things happen that are irrational, but you accept them because it's a dream. And it's like you trying to explain a nightmare that you had where a bunch of random ass shit that doesn't make sense happens. And then you're trying to explain it. And then they're like, I don't understand it. Like, that's the only way that you can, that I can explain this film.
Yeah. That's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah. That's a pretty accurate description of how the movie is structured. Yeah. That's pretty good. But the thing is about, but that is my thing is, like, how do you, like, what do you, like, so I don't feel bad for Paramount I feel bad for Paramount getting, you know, all this, like, you know, like, hated, and then I hated that, and really the cinema score for it being F, like, really, cinema score, it really is just a way, it's just a gauge on how well the movie was marketed and how, and what people thought. Like, it's not a gauge of quality. I don't know why we keep bringing it up every now and then.
Honestly, I've never used that rating system in my life. Like, I've heard people bring it up, but personally, I never use the site. I never use that as a reference to anything.
Well, I mean, I know a couple sites like Forbes, and I know a couple sites will use it as, like, the, say, well, on top of, you know, this movie making X amount of dollars, this movie got this thing from CinemaScore. So some people still use it in their box office reports because it comes out, like, literally the Friday it comes out, or the Friday after the movie comes out. And so I know people will use it, but really, CinemaScore has nothing to do with quality in my books. If we were judging movies by quality, I think I want to say it was either Batman v Superman or, like, one of the, or maybe it was Man of Steel got, like, an A minus. So according to people, Man of Steel is a, you know, an A movie. So,
What was I was curious, what's its Rotten Tomatoes?
77, I think. Like
that. Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear something crazy?
What?
I just found this out. You know the movie 9/11 with Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, that movie has 9 reviews, and its Rotten Tomato score is 11.
I haven't heard of this movie. What is
it? It's about Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen in the North Tower or something during the 9/11 attacks.
This is coming out, like, this year?
No, it came out last month.
Oh, wow.
It's already out and out of theaters because nobody went to it.
I think it's still playing at, like, a couple theaters in Atlanta.
But on Rotten Tomatoes, it has 9 reviews, and its score is 11%.
Wow. All 9 people that saw it rushed to Rotten Tomatoes.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, that's just, like, the odds of that are ridiculous. I don't even know how that happens.
I want to check that math just to be sure that they didn't screw it up.
I did look at, I didn't do the math, but I did look at Rotten Tomatoes, and it does have 9 reviews, and its score is 11%. I didn't check its math, but that's what it actually shows.
Interesting. So, going back to Mother, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Spoilers, everyone. Spoilers. Go in. If you want to see the movie, see it cold. That's the best way to see it. I saw it, actually, that's actually the way I saw it. I saw the teasers, obviously, but
I would actually argue that none of the trailers would even help you.
Yeah.
Because I saw two trailers and I still went in feeling like I have no idea what this movie's about.
Yeah, right. And honestly, that's the best way I can say to go see the movie. Go see the movie that way, because if you don't, I think you'll either be bored or you'll just, or you won't have it. It works as a movie is where you, to find out like what's going on. Like it works as it's building up to its momentous climax.
Both say don't see it because you'll think it's something else as well. Think it's another kind of movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's marketed differently.
Yeah. So
it probably would help you out.
Yeah, so but with that, starting with Eugene, now that we're in spoilers.
Okay.
What do you think of the movie?
I feel like I think you guys both like the movie. I don't know. I didn't really, sorry to say, but I didn't really care for it too much.
At least you made it through, unlike
Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
He walked out. He was right next to me, and he was, I think he left with like 15 or
he said 20 about minutes. To go.
Yeah, I talked to him to find out like what scene.
Yeah, I texted him as soon as I was out, and I'm like, what scene? And then he told me, and I'm like, that makes sense.
Oh, it was the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
But then I told him, like, you had like 10 more minutes.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't even, and he's like, I had Gene explain it. I'm like, okay.
Cool. Yeah, I think I just told him like the last 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally like, dude, you only had just a few more minutes, and then you could probably say you saw Mother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got like a refund, so.
That blows my mind, but whatever.
Yeah. So maybe that
explains why people are still saying the theater has like a full theater, but it still like only makes $7 million at the box office. Mm. You still are offering refunds.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, like I said before, I was a big Aronofsky fan, you know, and I went into this with an open mind. I did kind of think it was going to be like Rosemary's Baby, but I didn't really, you know, I'm not, if a movie's something else, I try to just, you know, enjoy it anyway. Like It Comes at Night or, you know, The Witch or something. And I don't know, it was just very, I don't want to say like pretentious. I found the movie, because that's not the right word. I don't want to, you know, it's not that strong how I feel, but it was just kind of, I don't know, something about it let me down. You know, Aronofsky movies, they're all metaphorical, but they aren't completely, you know, a metaphor, I guess. Where this, you know, this felt kind of extremely like, you know, metaphorical, like the whole thing was, you know, this giant metaphor. And I don't know, just something about that just kind of, I didn't really find as interesting as, say, like Black Swan or, you know, like The Fountain, where, you know, parts of it are supposed to be, you know, you're not, you know, not hard to understand, but parts of it are, you know, puzzling, and you have to kind of like think and figure out. It's taking a rib. It's like, I wonder what that means. Or, you know, it's like, there's some other biblical parodies. It's like, they have two sons. It's like, are their names Adam? And, you know, or excuse me, are their names Cain and Abel? And
yeah. I was going to say, I listened to a podcast earlier, and like literally the way that they explain this, like everything that happened, and it clicked so well. Like, this is basically the book of Genesis. Like, and like the thing with the sink is like Noah and the flood and shit, because it clears everybody out. Mm-hmm. And all, like, it's just like so many crazy. Yeah. It was just like, literally this is the Bible. And it's just, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's explained. I think a couple other sites, like Collider, they explained very perfectly that this is the first half is very Old Testament, and then New Testament is the second half of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he's like, "We must forgive them for all like all their stuff and all,"
we must forgive them for murdering our son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and destroying this house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for destroying this house and causing, you know, mass chaos and genocide in one location.
Yeah.
All of one location. But yeah. Did you say who are we on? Like, Gene, did you finish your thoughts?
Oh yeah. So, you know, I was just a little just disappointed. I mean, I didn't hate it. Like, you know, some people that walked out. It was just a little below my expectations.
Andy, what else did you think about Mother?
I love the visuals, and like when I heard all those explanations and stuff, like from other people and like the director and like the people involved with the film. I'm not a religious person at all, but I find that like all that stuff was like actually pretty interesting to even try to attempt, and I give them credit for the attempt. It's a visually striking film, and like I said earlier, it's like the best example of a dream you can't explain, and the chaos that happens later is just so gripping for me that I just loved it.
Yeah, and that's the thing I actually really like about this movie too, is that visually and from a filmmaking standpoint and from just execution all around, the way Aronofsky pulls off the statement, which is very much like ham-fisted and very much like humanity never wants. That's really what it is. It's, you know, meth never wants. Now it's humanity never wants. And you know, but the way Aronofsky does it is just so exceptional and so well done. And the way he, you know, uses kind of expressionistic horror to tell the story, that's why I kind of really dig this movie, is that because there's just no way you walk out of this movie having some sort of like just not feeling anything. Like, you cannot walk away from this feeling like, yeah, that was whatever, that was, you know, another Jennifer Lawrence movie, whatever. You can't like walk away from this unless you're completely desensitized from everything, unless you're a complete psychopath, I would say, then maybe. But even then, but so I just, that's why I really liked this movie so much, is because I actually kind of felt something. I kind of, you know, and felt something that, you know, was really impactful. I thought what Aronofsky was trying to do with, you know, his statement, it's, you know, he, you know, demonstrates it very well. And I think that's kind of the most important part of the whole aspect of the film, is how well did he execute the scene, regardless of how you feel about it, regardless of how you felt about the statement. Do you think he best executed it? And I think, you know, Aronofsky and his cast did the best job. I think they did better than most, you know, filmmakers who would make a biblical movie, or even make, or in this case, an anti-biblical movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because this movie could also be a case for being an anti-biblical movie. It's how you interpret it. So,
yeah.
And that's how I kind of feel about it. It's like, despite all of it, despite, you know, a statement where it's like, where you ask Aronofsky, well, what do you want us to do? Like, you told us we're shit, but what do you want us to do about it? Like, you left a... Basically, you're just saying we're terrible and God's the worst monster of all because he allows us to be terrible. But what do you want us to do? Like, what do you want us to get out of it? So, and that's kind of my biggest flaw with the movie is that there is nothing, there's nothing, is that he is saying something but doesn't know what we should, what, but has no way of telling us what is there to do about it. What is it? I don't know how you guys feel about that, but that's just how, that's really my only problem with Mother, is that it's a movie that is cynical for, I think, the right, I want to say cynical for the right reasons in terms of the subject matter, but that's why. But I feel like Aronofsky forgot along the way in writing this story in like 5 days. What else are we supposed to take out of it? Because even Mother, I mean, not Mother, Noah had something to say about it's been about what it was saying about our connection to humanity and what it means, you know, for us to say, and what it means for us to save, you know, you know, the animals and what does it all mean? I think Noah had a lot more to, you know, to say and for us to kind of take out of it than what Mother has, unfortunately.
Yeah. Would you guys say it's nihilistic?
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this is, oh yeah. I would definitely say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Nihilistic than cynical, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's nihilistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another thing I would say is, okay, it's like it has all the biblical like symbolism, but it also like the aspects that I was drawn to the most was the creative like types of symbolism, like how like, you know, he created something and it's about him needing, you know, the fans and all this stuff and all that kind of and like how, you know, how much effort it takes to create something and like how it like drives you, how you feed into it, all that kind of stuff is what I really connected to more than all the biblical stuff. And yeah. I feel like that was cool. My biggest problem with the film is that it's all symbolism and like there isn't really a story per se. Like there kind of is, but like it's not, it's more about the symbolism than the plot and story of these characters, which is fine, but like I wish that it was more. And that's, you know, that's the biggest drawback for me.
Yeah. And really the, well, yeah. And the only two characters that get developed at all are Javier Bardem's poet and Jennifer Lawrence's mother. Those are the only two that have a lot of development. Everyone else is kind of just walk in and walk out, sort of speak. Literally and figure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Gene, what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
No, I did, yeah, you know, I did like the aspect of like he's, you know, as a writer, that's how he feels, and you know, kind of maybe it was personal for him. I will say, you know, it kind of reminded me of Sucker Punch in a sense. Mm-hmm. Where the second or third level of like Sucker Punch is just it's no basis in reality. It's just like them, you know, fighting like samurais or giant samurais, stuff like that. And, you know, kind of, you know, I kind of like, you know, certain movies that are like, you know, like kind of like a dream, like Mulholland Drive or another movie like a Jodorowsky movie or something. But, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, movies like this were in a sense, or it doesn't feel like there's like enough like stakes to make you care, I guess, or enough like kind of stakes for the character where it's like if it's all a dream and then she comes back at the end, like, you know, you're not as invested in it as a viewer. I don't know if you guys feel that.
Well, I feel like this all happened. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's a dream. It's just the process of him, you know, creating and then like, because that's not Jennifer Lawrence at the end or at the beginning.
Oh.
To me, like those are different actresses.
Okay.
Those are like, it just like shows that this is a cycle that he just keeps going through and then he finds somebody else and then mm-hmm. it goes through the cycle again.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, I actually agree with that, you know, sentiment too, because the whole idea of the movie is the poet needs to create, and because he needs to have, he needs to feel that love. He needs to have his adoration. Ego. He needs to have his ego stroked. He needs to feel the love, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so when Mother does constantly destroy, he has to, you know, get the, you know, crystal out of, he has to get the crystal out of her or out of Mother Nature itself and use it to rebuild, his house and rebuild everything. So everything starts from scratch so he can continue. And the only problem is everything. So it, and that's the whole cyclical nature of it, is that everything's just going to happen the same way over and over, because eventually we're, everything's just going to have the same meaning. And I think that's what Aronofsky was, I think that's what Aronofsky was saying with that ending. So it's not a dream. It's all happening.
Mm-hmm. Like it's all happening, but like the timeline is like not real. Like it, like you can't take it literally, obviously, because it's like, that's not how things work. But
yeah,
I think it's just a way that they decided, or that they made it fast track like a dream. I don't know. It's it's kind of difficult.
It's supposed to be edited that way, because it feels like, because if it was Mother Nature herself, it would literally feel like, oh my God, this is happening here, and now that's happening, and now that's happening. It would feel that way. So it's edited. So it is edited to be a dream, but it's supposed to be fast tracked because of how time would move for, you know, for God or Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. So that structure made sense to me.
Okay.
Even though it did, even though at first when I was seeing, as I was watching the movie, it was like, wow, this is going ridiculous, and now this person's here, and it was kind of ridiculous that it was happening. But I understood it like afterwards, after seeing the whole thing, like as it was, you know, happening. So I got it.
Yeah.
So with all that said, was this risk worth it for Paramount and Aronofsky? Because let's be brutally honest, like, yes, if it was an A24 movie, maybe then we wouldn't be saying it would be risky. But for Paramount to say, we're going to spend $30 million and then we're going to spend like another, I don't know, $10, $20 million on marketing and then just put it out there in wide release. Does, you know, I count that as a risk, especially for what this is. And was it worth it? That's my question.
I really want to know what he sold this movie as before, or when they said that they would give him $30 million after, like, he probably said that he has Jennifer Lawrence on board. This movie is not going to have that amount of money without Jennifer Lawrence. Saying, and I just want to know what he said, because when they saw this, that's probably why the marketing was so scarce, because they have my.
I heard somewhere, I don't know if anyone can confirm this, that they gave him like approval, whatever he said to him. So I don't know, like, it seemed it seemed like they had some confidence in him, you know, to approve it, but I don't know, that's probably based on their relationship with him. They gave him the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know, it's good that they were taking chances, like they're telling, you know, like an original, you know, story. It didn't do that well, but I don't know, it's like a noble failure, at least, you know, regardless of how I felt on the movie.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. It feels like a noble failure. And I applaud Paramount all the way for backing this movie. I applaud them for being like, and because this is kind of a similar situation to what we saw with Arrival as well, where it's a not a big budget sci-fi movie, but it is a original $50 million sci-fi movie that, for all intents and purposes, probably should not have worked. But somehow it did, based off of word of mouth and also, you know, the Oscar talk. So it did very well on that alone. And I feel like maybe. And I know the movie was shot before Arrival was released. Mm-hmm. However, I wonder if Paramount was kind of hoping the same thing with Mother, is that they were hoping that maybe we have something here that we can sell as Oscar bait and people can get in and just, you know, we'll make up our money through, you know, Oscar, you know, through the Oscar season as it rolls out. But the problem is, I don't think Oscar season, I don't think the Oscars or any other guilds are not going to look at this at all. And for like Best Director or Best Director, I don't think they will, because of controversy. And also, there's plenty of other movies they can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just how it happens. That's how that's how it all always happens in Oscar season. There's just other movies to choose from.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes movies get overlooked. Yeah, I could definitely see it being overlooked. I don't know. It'd be nice if it won for like cinematography or like production design or something. Because at least, you know, those were amazing. So.
Yeah, I would say maybe the technical awards is where it will shine, like cinematography, sound, particularly sound, mm-hmm. of course. But really, it's just. But really, my thing is, I just don't see it. I don't see it getting like Best Picture nods or. Best actress, best actor, I don't think, or even best director, probably mm-hmm. definitely not best screenplay. I think a lot of the screenwriting guilds would look at the script for Mother and be like, no, we'll get something else.
I guess he wrote it in 5 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wrote it like as he was like stuck. I think he was living in Brooklyn at the time during the whole, I can't remember which hurricane it was that hit. Was it Harvey?
Uh-huh.
Or was it, is that right? Anyway, it was one of the, it was the hurricane that hit New York like back in 2014. And he wrote it out as he was like, you know, kind of stuck there and also trying to write some other thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and that was the script he could get made after Noah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, like, what else could there be said about Mother or even Aronofsky, for say? Because the thing about Aronofsky, I could say, is at best he can probably get on the A24 train and make another small movie.
Okay.
And Jennifer Lawrence, she's making another X-Men movie. She's, you know, she can probably work on David O. Russell's next movie, and so it's like her. For the people involved, it wasn't that big of a risk, but then again, the movie's not doing so well. So, I mean, does this mean anything for anyone?
Honestly, I think that yes, the movie's a risk, but I don't think it was worth it for the studio, but for everybody else involved and everybody that enjoys the film as an audience, I think we all win. Just because, like, they got to do something that, you know, traditionally they wouldn't be able to. But it's, like, only going to benefit, like, their experience on doing something like that. And then any of us that enjoyed it.
Yeah. Everyone except Diego.
Yeah. Well, no, not even Diego, because he got his money back, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Really, Diego? Why did you ask for your money back 10 minutes before the movie ended? Really?
Because apparently he got it back, so you can't fault him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who to blame more, Diego or the theater, for that one. Because that's like, I would be like, dude, you sat through an hour and 50 minutes of the movie, of a 2-hour movie. Go back in and just like stand in the hot aisle and just finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I don't, Andy. I don't know if you would do, Andy. I don't know if that's
possible. I wouldn't have given him a refund. No.
Yeah, I would have. That's. I'm just gonna sit in here like, how did you make that happen?
Yeah,
it's like, no, you've watched too much of it, so.
Mm.
I don't know. He said that he also did that during Transformers 4.
Well, that's understandable. It's Transformers.
I mean, Transformers 4, I can understand getting a refund for, as like a fun joke, but it's like, still. The theater, they make money off of your tickets, believe it or not.
Very little.
I know, but still, they make some money. So I would, if you made it that far, just hold out for the theater per se.
Mm-hmm.
Or just walk out and just, you know, go about your day. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like Aronofsky might not have the same pull he will have with another studio, kind of after how, you know, this movie isn't doing as well financially and critically. You know, it's a shame. I mean, you know, sure, if it didn't do well, but, you know, he's a great director regardless of, you know, this movie's performance. So, you know, we could be a while longer until you see the next Aronofsky movie.
Yeah. Really, the only thing I think that's kind of been hampered by this movie is that, and I think, and I know Red Letter Media is not always popular with everyone, but I think Red Letter Media brought up, or Mike from Red Letter Media brought up this point where the problem with doing a movie like Mother and it getting hated by everyone is that they're now going to just, it just confirms their, you know, desires even more to just stick with, you know, just, you know, the same boring stuff. So I feel like that's the only thing that really should be like in fear of going forward is that, you know, maybe now it'll just be a tougher sell to get like grandma and your aunt to go see, you know, a risky movie from even if it's from A24, like go check out this new movie. Like, because if this many people are coming out of Mother saying this was stupid or it's trash or it was a piece of shit, or even just walking out, that's kind of my fear of Mother's impact in general is that it's going to create, it will create more of a, not a ripple effect, but kind of a confirmation that, you know, that people don't really, people will not want to go see like new or venture out more, which is not, which is kind of a shame because that's how we find other great films as well. I mean, that's how we find Moonlight. That's how we find every Oscar winner ever nowadays. Yeah. So I feel like I feel like Mother might have digged that hole deeper, not intentionally, but as a whole, I feel like maybe that's probably the only impact that I fear of when it comes to Mother.
Yeah, no, definitely. Would you take your aunt or grandmother to see this movie, though?
I wouldn't take many people to this movie, period, because I know that a lot of people wouldn't react, like wouldn't react positively to it.
Yeah. I might take my sister. My sister is a horror buff, so I might take her to this. I would have taken her to this. Mm. But yeah, this would be a tough sell on my grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't take mine to it.
I've had movies on my top 10 list that I don't know if my grandmother would even like.
Yeah, not for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard for independent films to, you know, get approval, but I don't know how much we're going to see, you know, like A24 coming out with, like, you know, more independent films. But, I mean, you know, Paramount or, like, other big studios, like, stuff like this, you know, it's already kind of on the decline, so maybe it's just more of the same.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's, like, it's a confirmation rather than like a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Maybe just don't write movies in 5 days.
Yeah. Maybe like put your thought into this. Actually, that's what I think that's my screenwriting professor's big rule. Please don't try to write it overnight. Don't try to write your 90-page magnus opus overnight. Mm-hmm. You might make a mistake. But in that case, do we have any more thoughts on Mother as we close out?
Nope.
No, I think I'm good. Is it what elixir she was drinking? Does anyone know?
Say that again.
Oh, the crystal drink?
Yeah,
no, I have no idea.
It's probably Gatorade. It's probably Gatorade. I'm sure Aronofsky will describe it in the commentary or something one day.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it means something.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But anyway, so with that is it for Mother this week. I did not check out American Assassin yet. Because I just did not have the time or a lot of work to do. So American Assassin will be a React video coming soon. So with that, Gene, where can the good people find you?
Oh, yeah, you can find me at G9892 on Twitter, Instagram, Waffle Press Podcast. Look for that as well.
Andy?
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at The Talking Can.
All right, and you can find me at Movie Kale, and you can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. Next week, we are going to be talking about Kingsman 2. And Gene, Andy, thank you for all joining in this week and talking Mother.
Thanks,
no problem.
All right, and see you guys later.
We're from the Kingsman Tailor's Shop in London. Maybe you've heard of us?
Today marks the beginning of a new age, but I'm going to show you. Say goodbye to the Kingsmen.
Kind of got a bit of a save the world situation here.
Welcome to Statesman.
As your American cousins, we'll be working side by side.
Let's get started.